You okay?
All right. I'm good. All right. Hey, guys, and welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 196. 96? Let's do that a third time. We'll do it live. All right.
Your answer, Threve, which is not a number.
All right, hey guys, and welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 196. I am your host, Vince. Over there is your host, Phil.
Hey.
There's Phil. In this episode, we are talking about Wonder Woman 1984, or WW84. I'm not even sure what to call the film, but we're talking about that movie that was available to all of you who have HBO Max, so good for you. Before we get to that, although, I want to remind you that Three Drinks In is available on all streaming services, or at least most streaming services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Make sure that you subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Three Drinks In Pod. You can like us on Facebook, and you can email us at threedrinksinpodcast@gmail.com. So what is this movie called?
It's called Wonder Woman, 1984.
You're sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Why would it not be called that?
Because I just saw WW84 everywhere. I'm like, no. I'm trying to be clever, like not give it such a stupid name by giving it a stupider name.
No, sometimes they just abbreviate things.
I guess for the marketing, that makes sense. So... what are you drinking over there?
I am drinking the Industrial Arts Tools of the Trade.
Nice.
It is a beer. Hang on. It's an extra pale ale with notes of bright and snappy citrus.
Oh, okay.
It's very good.
Excellent.
But only drink it if you're 21 or over. So.
Right. I'm drinking the largest Negroni I could possibly fit in a glass.
Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to need you to catch me up on like the last half an hour of this movie because I literally gave up.
You didn't watch it?
I watched it. I watched enough of it just to be polite. Like, I couldn't. It was, I put it on, I don't know what it was, like maybe 8 o'clock.
Oh, that was your mistake. Like I watched it at like 9:30 in the morning, and I'm still like, when it was over, I walked out like, is it dinner time? What month is it?
I mean, we put the kids to bed. We cleaned up. My wife was going to go on a Zoom call with her friends and sort of like do a viewing party of a concert that they had all, that she had bought access to. And so I'll just sit down and make an old-fashioned and watch this movie. And then my beard began to grow, and I'm just sitting there going, oh my. I can't recall a time that I wasn't sitting here. I said to myself, I just.
This is it. I live here now.
Yeah. I looked up at the clock and it said 9:55. And I just said, you know what? I just don't care. They should have worked harder to keep my attention for this movie because, like, I'm sure Phil can fill me in later on because I just don't give a rat's ass.
I don't even know what point.
So like, the last thing that I remember, I remember is he was on the transporter pad, floating there, yelling at people.
Oh yeah,
and she's wearing the chandelier, a gold chandelier, and she's trying to get him to stop whatever it is he's doing, and he's reluctant.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically the end.
Yeah, I was close enough. I feel like she beat the Taylor Swift character from Cats, and. So that part was over. And then there was just talking to the guy on the transporter pad. I figured, oh, I'm sure Philip can, you know, give me a... So, like, does she convince him to stop whatever the hell he was doing?
Yeah. She manages to convince everyone around the world to stop what they were doing. Oh. Which was super nice of the terrorists and the psychos to give up all their weapons and guns and everything. You know, I probably wouldn't have. So, it was very good of them to just give up and, you know, renounce what they wanted. So, the day is saved. Yay. Yeah. Well, my friends wanted to watch it. And we don't live anywhere near each other. So, they were like, well, it was a friend's birthday. He's a huge comic book fan. And he's like, we're going to have a Zoom call at 8 to talk and get to, you know, hang out, catch up. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll start the movie. I texted them and said, there is no way I'm watching a 2.5 hour movie at 9 o'clock. Like, I got a little kid at home. If I make it to 10:15, it's a big deal. So I was like, I'm out. And I said, just assume I hate it because I'm known as the guy that hates everything. You know, like, just assume I hate this and I'll give you a real review tomorrow. And they texted me, you know, 1 a.m., which I didn't get because it was 1 a.m. And then when I finally finished it, I said, well, I was right. I hate this. And they agreed with me, and I felt extremely vindicated. You know, because the movie was awful. It was awful. I couldn't believe it. I was actually a little stunned how terrible it was. You know.
I don't even like.
She's a terrible actress. She's just terrible. She couldn't act her way out of a paper bag.
Oh.
Which is what I said from the beginning. Not that they ask me these things anymore, but it's true. I was like,
not
she
that
can't
anybody's
act.
Curious.
You know, I said this years ago. I'm like, well, this woman can't act as beautiful as she is. And I was proven right yet again.
And she's gorgeous. I mean, she's. But somebody had made a comparison between her and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I actually think that that's a fairly decent analogy, especially early on in his career when he was very wooden and he wasn't an actor. And I don't know anything about how dumb or smart Gal Gadot is, but like Arnold Schwarzenegger is really, really bright. I mean, say what you want. The man became the governor of California. I don't think he was particularly good at it, but like he was the governor of California and he, you know, he's had a very interesting and varied career well beyond whatever the hell he did in movies. So because he was smart enough, he could apply whatever skills he had to the craft of acting to go from Conan the Destroyer to, you know, fairly funny roles in like True Lies where he could do comedy and he never really got deep into drama, but like, you know, he got better as the whole thing went along. And she's relatively new to this. You know, she was in Entourage for 5 minutes one time and then now
he got better when he was clearly only there for how he looked. And you know, we all winked at each other and said, despite this man's Austrian accent, we're going to pretend he came from the San Fernando Valley or whatever. And the fact that he's 6'5 and a wall of muscles isn't commented on. You know, we're all just going to shrug and go, okay. You know, but that's not her thing. She's like the Conan character. It's supposed to be obvious how beautiful she is and talented.
Yeah.
You know, it's just when she opens her mouth that it all falls apart because I'm just like, ooh, oh man. Especially they're asking for more of her in this one.
Yeah,
the first one.
They're asking a lot of this lady.
You know, in the first one, her idea, it fit because she was supposed to be this naive fish out of water character. Whereas here she's not. She's supposed to be the worldly one. It's like she's got cue cards just off screen that she's reading. It's terrible.
Yeah, no, it's
I knew we were in trouble that first action scene when she was beating those guys up at the mall. I just knew, like, I texted my friends. I'm like, we're 15 minutes in and I hate this. This is that kind of tone. I personally don't like, you know, the Christopher Reeve, Sam Raimi, Spider-Man tone or goofy, you know, I got time to wink at the camera and the little girl's winking back at me. And, you know, like, I don't like that. And then people always say, you know, well, it's a comic book. It's not a comic book. It's a movie. And that's different. Okay. And even if I'm reading comic book panels, in my brain, it doesn't go like that. So that's just like that's a non-starter, you know. But like this goofy, wacky, girls get it done tone. I was like, what is this? and it veered wildly after that too, which didn't help. But, you know. I mean, if that's what you're starting with, I'm at a bad point, you know.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a single scene that was good. Even the one that I wanted to like the one where he's trying on clothes.
That was the only scene I was like, this is okay.
Exactly. Like, it got into my head, this is my favorite. Like, but it's this thing, like, which pile of dog shit in front of you is your favorite pile of dog shit? Like, think about all that dog shit.
The one that looks like Chris Pine.
Yeah. If I just kind of comb this dog shit's hair a certain way, it looks like Chris Pine. And I like him. He's very talented. But, like, he did nothing in this movie, too. Like, he had absolutely nothing to do.
Yeah. He was only there to be sacrificed again, which is really not what you're looking for in a movie. How can I drag this dead character back to life so he can be sacrificed for the heroine once again? You know?
So, all right. So let me see if I understand this correctly. On the one hand, this movie is about a goofy guy in a bad suit who's directing a Ponzi scheme that falls apart, and he realizes that there's a magic stone that grants and all I can think of is like that line from that episode of How Much Your Mother, where Barney goes through the playbook, and it's my penis grants wishes. And that's just all I could think about. So this guy's rock grants wishes, and he finds the rock by interacting with our second villain, who's just one of those like awkward, you know, Poison Ivy type characters from Batman Forever, or was it Forever or Batman Robin? I don't know, whatever. And like, gets superpowers and she becomes a menace, and it's a big, you know, personal growth thing, but she's evil. And and then so he gets the stone and he turns himself into the stone, and now he's the penis that grants wishes. And then he runs around the planet Earth trying to find oil.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, wherever he goes, he makes people, you know, shake his hand. And then he grants them wishes that help him, kind of, but not very much. Well, and destroy everybody else's lives.
Yeah. So he becomes this, he's the one who can give the wishes. He becomes like the genie. And they say, like, I'll take things from you. I'll give you what you want if I take things from you. And the things that I take always will benefit me. That way I get unlimited wishes. Like, everybody only gets one. Mm-hmm. So he says, like, I'll give you whatever you want if you give me what I want, basically. And the wishes end up, like, you know, contradicting themselves. And they get like ridiculously out of hand, because in the beginning it's like, don't you wish you had more money, and don't you wish you had more youth? And then he asks that, like, Middle Eastern guy. I'm like, well, what do you want? And he goes, I want foreigners expelled from my land. I'm like, holy crap. Oh, ooh, this really got out of hand. Like, he like, wished for something ridiculous.
Wall comes out of nowhere. And they're like, oh, and like the news is commenting on it as narration immediately.
Yeah. Like, you know, everything gets worse. And like, as he grants the wishes, he gets like, his health starts to deteriorate. So that at the end, when he tries to give wishes to everyone at the exact same time, he says, I'll give you what you want if you give me as much health as you can give me so I live forever or whatever. So like his plan is so he doesn't die from the wish giving. And that's why he's on TV trying to broadcast everything to everybody at the exact same time. That's just like, he looks worse and worse as the movie goes. And at that point at the end, he looks okay because he's getting his health from them.
They're giving him their health?
He says, like, in exchange for giving you what you want, I'm going to take, like, extra health from you. Which, okay, sure. It was a little loosey-goosey with the rules. Let's just say.
Boy, is that not the truth. Because, like, at the end there, he's talking, you know, he's talking to the president. Was that supposed to be Reagan?
That was supposed to be Reagan? But I don't know who that was.
The worst. I mean, because they were kind of specific about, like, this is the times we're living in. And, like,
it didn't look like Reagan.
We'll get to that later. But, yeah, no, it didn't look like Reagan at all. And I was like, oh, okay. And so Reagan says, oh, now we can touch everybody in the world at once. Like,
yes, we can hijack
their... Did you say
their...
touch?
Well, I know. Hijack the broadcasting.
He says, well, it's a figure of speech, but yes, I did say that out loud. Like,
yeah. And he goes, good enough. And he goes to their secret base to broadcast his signal.
Well, because the whole thing, you're right. Like, he has to like hold someone's hand and they make a wish and therefore like they get what they want. But then they were like, we can just do that because it's faster than holding everyone's hand on the planet.
Yeah. And, well, I also don't understand. How come Kristen Wiig got two wishes? Everybody else got one.
She did get two wishes. She wished to be like Diana, and then she wished to be like Taylor Swift from Cats.
I mean, when you turn into the stone, you get it like a do-over? I don't know. It didn't make any sense.
Nope. Nope, that was bizarre. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, boy, that didn't make any sense. You're absolutely right. Also, what didn't make sense is most of this movie.
Yeah, most of the movie.
Does she wish for Chris Pine to come back?
She doesn't say it out loud.
No.
She goes, "I know what I would wish for." And then like you see like like the breeze from like a high school play, like to let you know that the wish was granted. I was like, oh my God, that's like gonna be the cheapest effect.
His watch began to tick, and it was just like, yeah, maybe he's alive in spirit.
And yet he wasn't alive as himself. He was like in the body of some random guy.
So, and everybody else saw generic someone actor different. Number four.
Yeah.
And we saw handsome Chris Pine. And I'm just thinking to myself, what?
And then, like, what? He goes why to find her at that party, and he's like, wow, well, I can't believe where I am. And she goes, well, how did you get here? He goes, well, I've been staying in this apartment for, like, a little while, like, reading about where I am. I'm like, okay, so you shouldn't be too shocked because you've actually been around for a little bit. Like, man, most of the day reading the newspaper, like, how did you know she was going to be there? It's not like you just plopped into the linen closet and she opened it and poof, there he was.
I would have appreciated that more.
So would I.
That would have been better.
And it's shocking to me that they talk about that short story with the monkey's paw. Now, everybody knows that from The Simpsons. But that was based on a short story from like the 60s or whatever. Mm-hmm. You get the monkey's paw, they give you a wish, but they take something away from you. That's basically what it is. And in that story, the parents lose their son, their grown-up son. And the second wish they use is to have the son come back. And so, like, all you hear is this, like, shuffling and moaning and knocking at the door. And the wife is excited, and the father realizes what's up. and he wishes him away before she can open the door. So you're like, oh my God, he's like a horrible zombie or whatever. Like he wasn't coming back.
Dug himself out of the ground. And
yeah. Like, why didn't they do that? Where like he was like decomposing or something.
Well, then you couldn't
have had that.
Like,
do something stupid.
You know, Ken Barbie try on scene for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They spent so much money in this movie.
Oh yeah.
I mean, so much. I'm trying to think of the last time that I saw a movie this bad that was this expensive. As like a
Mulan was expensive, wasn't it?
What?
Wasn't Mulan expensive?
Well, see, so Mulan was bad. You know, in a lot of different ways, and I watched a bunch of different, you know, really great YouTube video essays about it from like Thomas Flight and Just Right. Just Right's essay was great about, you know, like just, but like all, most of their complaints, like Thomas Flight's complaint was like, it's a badly edited movie. It's just not a well put together film. And that he was talking, he spoke about the movie on its own merits a lot. But most of the critique of that film is really like, this first one they made 20 years ago was infinitely better for a variety of reasons, and we should not have bothered to do this. We're as much critiquing the badness of this film as we're critiquing the, sort of the money-grubbing ridiculousness of trying to recreate these movies just for new, for a new audience, because we have nothing left in the tank to give as far as creative things go. And so it was expensive and it was bad, but this sort of seems worse in a way, mostly because like it's not a recreation of a thing from 20 years ago that was great. It was a, you made a competent film 5 years ago that we all were surprised about and really liked. Now you've made an abomination of a movie that doesn't make any sense. I mean, as much as I didn't like the, all the plot points of Mulan didn't gel, it wasn't hard to understand what was happening or why. This movie was like utterly incomprehensible for chunks at a time. And like the second I thought, like, all right, I think I have a good idea. What? Oh, no, I have no idea. Why is she a goddamn cat? What the fuck? Like, yeah, okay, Cheetah was in the comic books, but we're not making a comic book. We could do this for hours. So like, this just seems so much worse. I think because A, it is, and because B, we're, you know, Mulan was worse because it was, there was a better version of it out there somewhere. This is worse because you just, like, you were doing so good. Just keep doing what you were doing. It was fine. You got this, guys. And then they just totally took a dump all over it.
According to this list, the movie that we've seen that's lost a ton of money was The Lone Ranger. $225 million, and it lost $98 million of that. $98 million. Think of all the homeless, poor people that could have been helped with that money. Because that movie was also like ridiculous to watch. At least it was fun. This movie was boring.
Yeah. I think that's this movie's ultimate sin, is that it was dull. I spent most of this movie on my phone watching YouTube because I just didn't care. Like, you know, I was looking at car videos, I was looking at cooking demonstrations. Like, I look up and like, I'm sure I missed stuff, but I know I didn't miss anything important because nothing ever seemed to be important in this movie. It just kind of like chunked around from thing to thing, being as bizarre and incomprehensible as it was before. So yeah, no, it just didn't make any goddamn sense.
Why was it set in the 80s? What was the point of that?
My guess was that they wanted to do something that wasn't going to interfere with Superman. So Superman in this universe doesn't show up until later. And they didn't want to sort of like play with whatever kind of, you know, clothespin together timeline that they've created. And 80s nostalgia is pretty big right now because you're kind of covering your bases there.
Here's my thing. So, like, I was thinking of the X-Men movies because when they did First Class, they set it in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And it was important to the plot because they were involved in the Cuban Missile Crisis. Like, the whole climax of the film takes place during an unbelievably famous historical event. And then the next one was in the 70s, Days of Future Past. And that was just supposed to be like, okay, they're a little bit older now. And, you know, like, the time period doesn't really matter. And then they made one last one. They made, they made another one. They made The Age of Apocalypse. And they sat that one in the 80s. And everyone walked out of there going, what was the point of doing that? Because the time period didn't factor in. And, you know, there was like, oh, they had leg warmers, ha, ha, ha. But the soundtrack was very 80s music heavy. And, you know, I mean, it didn't make a whole lot of sense that the characters hadn't aged 20, 30 years or whatever. So I went into this one thinking that that was going to be a thing. Like, if anything, like, the soundtrack would be very 80s, and, you know, the leg warmers would make a bigger thing, and or maybe with the Iron Curtain or what have you. And none of that happened. None of that mattered. You know, there was no soundtrack stuff with 80s. I mean, he wore a fanny pack, ha ha. And some people were wearing shirts with pop collars, even though, like, if you went to work, you wouldn't wear that. Like, I don't understand why she was walking around the lab and people were dressed like they were at the mall, but okay. Like, it felt like something someone who didn't know what the 80s was and asked a robot to tell you, and like the bot would figure it out, you know? So, like, I mean, the only thing I can think of is, you're right, like, well, according to the lore of the Justice League and the Superman movies, she hadn't been around doing anything after World War One. She didn't get involved in World War Two or any of that stuff. So they were like, well, she has to be part of something that won't interfere with the stupid timeline we created. But then this movie has world altering consequences to it. Everyone sees or hears her voice at the end. So, like, why do the 80s? And I just didn't make sense to me. Just set it whenever. I don't care.
Yeah, so the setting plays a is like a character in this, but it's like the drunk character that shows up and forgets its lines. It's just like, you know, neon. We all like neon in colors, right?
And there are guys with like the pop collars. I'm like, you wouldn't wear that to work. You'd wear a shirt and tie with a lab coat. What are you doing?
And like the guys who were like driving down what looked like a busy city street at 200 miles an hour in a Firebird, and she just kind of kicks the thing out and like, oh
yeah, in DC, yeah, right. The traffic there is horrendous.
That's been true since 1978, so don't even,
yeah.
But like, so if you want to see like we're creeping up on, like, you know, and I'm a little bit older than you, but not that much. Where it's like,
not that much.
I think so, somewhere recently I saw, I can't think of what it was, like a TV show or movie that was set in the 90s. And it was done like a period piece. And I was like, oh my God. Like most of my adolescence took place in the 90s. So it's like, you know, I have a strange relationship with that decade being portrayed in movies and TV as like, you know, remember this? Like, it was cute when VH1 does it. It's a different thing when it's like a massive bit of pop culture. So like the best example of how to do a recent time period as a bit of nostalgia or a period piece in film is Stranger Things. Like, but like the first season of Stranger Things, because it doesn't do all the goofy mall shit that this movie does, like in the first 10 frames. Like, Stranger Things season 3 gets to all the mall stuff, and like it makes it neon, and they do all like they lean in heavy into the tropes. But the first season, just like, it shot the 80s in the Midwest for what they were, bleak and awful, and just kind of not all that much fun. And this movie, you know, it treats the decade as a caricature of itself. You know, it's like they shot Let's Go to the Mall in the same mall as they shot Wonder Woman. Like, that's pretty much.
Well, they did a really crummy job with it. It was half-assed.
But it also didn't serve a purpose. Like, you're right. Like, what? Like, so, like, the timeline thing kind of makes sense, but they don't bother. Like, this is the only time they've made one of these movies with the same people. You know, like, so Patty Jenkins did the first one and this one. Zack Snyder collaborated as a producer, whatever that means, you know, on this movie. And, okay, fine. But it kind of looked like they were getting their act together with DC, but now it very clearly they don't have anyone. There's no one driving the bus. There's just not. So decisions are being made, you know, just for, you know, for really no reason related to story. Just like, wouldn't it be cool if, is how they make decisions for these movies. So, you know, why do they set it here? Just for shits and giggles, because it's different, because it allowed them to be, you know, to have it kind of sort of stand out and be colorful. And, you know, again, they're still making movies for a foreign market for the most part, especially Warner Brothers, I have to feel. Like, Disney's doing it too, and, like, you know, like, in some cases, egregiously so. But, like, Warner's trying to catch up to to Disney in that regard. And, you know, people in China, like, and I can't say this without sounding really kind of really racist, but, like, when you're dealing with a film not in your language, the visuals are more important. And so if you got a bright, colorful film with an attractive people swinging around, then that's what's going to catch people's eyes, especially in China. And I always laugh too. Like, I read it, like, I'm just going through Metacritic and going, who hated this? I'm going down to the bottom of the thing. And someone from Vulture, of course, they hate most things. And so she was, like, the first kind of interwoven in, like, the basic complaints about the movie and how bad it was like, and the lack of diversity, and the, like, lack of diversity. I really want to go, do you know who they're making this movie for? Like, do you know that Black Panther made $0 in China? None. It made no money. Comparatively, at least, because the Chinese don't like black people. They don't. It's why Star Wars is really bad. Star Wars is trying super hard to be as woke as possible, and it just doesn't play in China. They don't like it. So, like, it's like no one knows why anyone's doing what they're doing, and it's very obvious, both the critics and the filmmakers. And so, 80s, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know what the point of this movie was. Right? Like, are they trying to show that cheating is wrong and, like, you should never take the shortcut? Because I feel like that got solved in the first 10 minutes of the movie. And then
does that ever show up again thematically? Not really, right? Like,
it's kinda loose. You know, like I say, like, you took a shortcut, you cheated. And at the end, like, she gets him back and she starts to lose her powers because Chris Pine comes back to life. And he has to, like, convince her to give him up and get her powers back because the world needs her. And, like, there are no shortcuts, but, like, everybody else needs to learn that lesson. I mean, we're talking about bringing someone back from the dead here. it was loosely connected to her. Not to mention, you know, she's pretty much flawless from the beginning. So you don't, I mean, there's obviously no question she was going to do it, but, like, it didn't even look like a difficult decision for her, where he's like, you got to give me up. And she's like, I know I do. Doesn't that stink? Like, so, like, I'm just waiting for it to happen. So I'm like, well, let's get to it already. Like, you know, so she doesn't have anything to learn. And then, I mean, especially with Pedro Pascal, right? Pascal? or Pascal. Yeah. The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian.
He's the Mandalorian, basically. You know, he doesn't have any motive. I don't know what his motivation is until the very end, which drove me berserk because he was making all these decisions. And I was like, why is he doing this?
I missed that. Why was that?
It's because he had a miserable childhood and he grew up in an abusive home and he was like a failed businessman. So that when he had his own son, he wanted to provide for him, not like the way that he was provided for. Like he starts to get visions of his past that you see of him being abused and being poor. And then when he has his own kid, he's like, I don't want that to happen to my kid. So I have to be smart and successful and have and give him everything I could never have. And I'm like, you know what? That would have worked great in the first 20 minutes of the movie and not the last 20 minutes of the movie. Because before that point, I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, is he a mass murdering weirdo? Is he just a greedy asshole? Like, what is his deal? I know he has a kid, but that's whatever. That's not enough. You know,
they keep shoehorning in these awkward scenes. And like, I mean, talk about a badly used good actor. Like,
you know, what was he supposed to be? Was he supposed to be this comic buffoonish guy who's like a loser? Because that's what Kristen Wiig is already doing. Or is he supposed to be this guy who's like made a couple of bad bets and he's trying to dig himself out? Is he purposefully stupid? I don't know. It's not clear.
So
when he was making decisions, I'm like, I don't know why he's making these decisions. It's called characterization.
I read an interview with him where he was saying that he almost spoke about his character allegorically. Like he was greed. And like all I could think of was that scene from How I Met Your Mother again, where like, you know, Lily's bad play, where it's like, I am envy. And then like consumerism. And the guy comes out with a bottle of whiskey and a shotgun. I am your father, America. Like that's kind of how it felt. Like he was, but when he talked about the role and whatever interview I saw, he was like, yeah, no, that's kind of what he is, you know. That's how, like, oh, so you didn't actually think about it. It wasn't a character to you. It was like a concept that you basically anthropomorphized.
Well, you know why? Because in certain scenes, especially at the end, when he's like blowing her around the room with his wind power, and she's trying to get him to stop, and she's like, "Why are you doing this?" He's like, "Don't you have enough?" And he goes, "But why have this when you can have more?" And like, that's just a line you read off the page. You know, like that's not a motivation.
No, it was, I mean.
So I'm sitting here just like, you're right. Why are you doing this? And the guy on YouTube pointed out where he was like, you know, did it not occur to him that multiple wishes will conflict with one another? He goes, Bruce Almighty figured that out in the first half an hour. You know, because he grants everyone's prayers and some of them conflict. Everyone wins the lottery. So everybody wins like a dollar, you know. I was like, yeah, you can't tell both sides that they can have any nuke they want or whatever it is, you know.
Bruce Almighty. That was a good movie, man.
That was a good movie. That character had to learn a lesson and, you know, go through an emotional journey. How about that?
Your basic tenets of, you know, of standard modern filmmaking.
Yeah, so that didn't happen here.
No one learned anything. No one did anything.
And then,
does he die at the end?
He doesn't. Nobody dies. Everybody just stops. The movie just ends. I'm like, don't some people go to jail? Who remembers what exactly? I don't know. Like, does the world just get put back together?
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig's character, too, is just like awful. I know you didn't see it. But did you see The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Jamie Foxx?
No. Missed that one.
He was the villain. He was Electro. And he was the exact same. He was the exact same character. This buffoonish, such a loser that it wasn't believable anymore. Like, he's like the lab assistant No one likes him. He's a little weird. He's awfully goofy, klutzy. You know, they can't remember his name, even though they've already met him 50 times. So that when he falls in the vat of acid and he turns into the electric man and he sees Spider-Man, he gets upset that no one remembers him, including Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man knew him on the street or something, saved his life. So, like, there's Kristen Wiig, you know. No one knows her. They don't treat her, take her seriously. Like, are you really telling me this PhD candidate or whatever, no one knows her name and treats her with any respect? Even the other women working in the office? Like, nobody is that buffoonish and callous. I don't understand. Like, it didn't feel real. So I'm supposed to be upset that she suddenly has powers. I'm like, yeah, no, good for her.
Yeah, I was kind of fine with that. Like, I can believe that situation arises where people are socially sort of forgettable. Like, they come into a room and then like, okay, fine, then they go. But in her case, it was very strange in that, like, you would notice her for all the things that make her awkward. You know, like, you know, it didn't, she was, there's a way to play that. Like, you can be a wallflower and then not get noticed. But she wasn't a wallflower. She was falling onto places and dropping shit and spilling coffee and couldn't put one foot in front of the other. Like, she was very hard to miss. So it didn't make sense that someone who's very hard to miss was forgettable. Like, there's a way to do that. Or make someone sort of mousy and unobtrusive and, socially
Jim Carrey's Jim Carrey's character in Batman, the Batman movie, where he's like the wacky, weird scientist before he's the Riddler.
Yeah.
And you're right. That's a good point. People avoided him because he was so weird. They were like, oh God, this guy again. Like, that was a different, but the tone of that was different. That was a really garish little kid movie.
Yeah.
You know, the tone in this is all over the place. So, like, when she becomes this bloodthirsty person who beats up would-be rapists, I'm like, whoa. Where did this come from?
Yeah, no, the things don't match. And, like, you could make a movie about that, but they didn't want to do that. They wanted to do the easy thing, which is to make somebody, you know, embarrassing and have no one show compassion to her but the main character. You know, they did that better on, like, The Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon and Leonard are kind of like, on, you know, they're forgettable kind of dorky guys, and then they meet Penny and she's patient and, like, kind of deals with it. This is just like, she's so in your face, yet how could you forget? It was just stupid. Everything was stupid. What else was stupid? I'll tell you what was stupid. The CGI in this. Ooh. All of the special effects.
Was that, like, her, like, floating around and stuff?
All of it. Every inch of it. Not one moment was I impressed with any of the floating in the air fighting, the whips on the lightning, the thing at the end where they're using the whip and the cables to swing around and kick each other. Like, everything looked terrible. Like, who did the CGI for this movie? And I'm not, like, I feel these kind of things, I kind of go, like, all right, well, I can talk about that it was bad. I can talk about that I didn't like it. I talk about the story structure and the confusingness and, like, the bad acting. But, like, can I talk about the CGI? That's hard. I can't do that. I can't, you know, but, like, I feel less qualified to talk about that than most things. But, like, there was a point when she's, like, in the desert and they're going down, like, in the caravan where she's fighting all the guys on the cars with guns, which, like, they cut to, like, two little kids in, like, the middle of the road going, oh my God, they're going to Nana's, and she swoops in to grab them, and it was so clearly not people, and, like, it was just two dummies that I was just like, oh my God, like, that's so obvious. It was so obvious. It looked terrible from when she kind of floats and kind of, like, hovers there in the air for some reason, kind of flying and kind of not. Is that, like, a foreshadowing? Like, ooh, you're gonna fly by the end of the episode or the end of the movie, But I here guess. You're just sort of floating.
I mean, she can't fly in the other movies.
Can she fly? I don't know. Like, is that what she does?
They sort of retconned her in the comics that she can fly.
Okay.
Because the invisible plane was stupid. So they just made it like, you know what? She can fly. You know, but like, she doesn't fly in Justice League or any of the other things, Superman movies. She doesn't fly in those. And it would have been really helpful. It would have been really, really helpful to be able to fly.
I mean, that's true in general. I'd love it. If you could fly. Right?
What a time saver.
Be working 8 minutes.
Yeah. So she like learns to fly in this film, I guess, as a thing. As a learned lesson. I don't know. The CGI didn't look great. And it was obvious they were dummies. But it was the only time in the movie I sat up and paid attention, because there was no action in this movie. And even that mall scene obviously was a reshoot. Like, it was obviously like, there's no action in the first hour and 45 minutes.
True.
So we need a scene here. So it was a reshoot. There are no action scenes, which is okay, I guess. Like, but if you're making this kind of a movie and you don't know what kind of movie you're making, I mean, people expect action scenes of some sort. It's nicer if they move the plot along and make sense, but if they don't, then at least you give somebody something to watch for 10 minutes. But there weren't any in this movie. You know?
Yeah, interesting.
So I was just like, oh my God. So like when we got to that.
We need to put a thing in here. And that's...
Yeah, we need a thing. It was just like Superman Returns. It was like, we need a thing of him doing Superman stuff.
What, the plane scene?
No, not the plane scene. Like, there was the montage of him stopping crimes and everything. He gets shot in the eyeball.
Yeah.
That was a reshoot, because the people were like, holy shit, you made a Superman movie where he doesn't do anything for Superman stuff besides the plane scene.
It's a great scene.
You know, one action scene of Superman catching an airplane is not enough. Not if it's going to be that mopey. I mean, and even if it's not a superhero story, it's good on average to balance out your stories with, you know, highs and lows here. If everything is one long low, you're going to lose people.
Oh, I was lost, even with the attempted trying to make it a high, because it just... Oh, man. I've never been able to, like, not talk about a film sort of sequentially, but, like, I can't think of a single thing about it that I liked at all. And so I'm sitting here like, we haven't really done anything but just complain for 40 minutes. I'm like, there's nothing to really latch on to in this. It's just
make a better movie.
What's that?
Make a better movie.
Oh, yeah. It's...
I mean, it's not a complaint. I think, and I don't follow him all the time, but Sonny Bunch mentioned something funny too, where it was like, I don't understand, well, like, the random sexist attitudes of the men in the 80s. Like, every so often they would be completely sexist. He goes, Steve Trevor was from like the 1914s or whatever. He's like, wouldn't he be more sexist and antiquated than the men in the 80s? And I was like, yeah, that's probably true.
That's true.
Notice how you don't see
1908 probably didn't have any more of a evolved sense of what a woman's supposed to be than this guy.
I mean, that was his thing in the first movie where he was like, women don't do the things that you can do. You know? Let me start again. I barely remember anything from the first Wonder Woman movie. I thought it was okay. I certainly didn't watch it a second time. It was a poor man's Captain America. And it got a lot of play because it was a woman directed by a woman. Sure, fine. So a lot of it, I didn't remember. I remember he blew up in an airplane. And that's about it. So like, when they were mentioning that and mentioning all these like callbacks to the first movie and everything, I was completely lost. I didn't remember anything that happened. You know, like there's a picture of her with this old woman that they focus on for a moment. I'm sitting here like, who is that, her mom? Like, I thought her mom was an immortal woman. Like, who is this person? It was some random character that she knew in the first movie. It was supposed to be that she was older now and Diana was still friends with her. And I'm sitting here like, man, I don't remember
that, like, the
any of this.
Broad?
The what?
The frumpy broad in that movie?
Yeah, like the one that helps dress her when they get to London. It was supposed to be her. I was like, okay.
You know, like I didn't remember anything.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like the watch he had, like was that a thing? I don't remember.
Yeah, the watch he gives her the watch before he takes the plane out, and like it's not like emotionally significant. It's just a piece of jewelry that he gave her, and
I mean, yeah. would somebody after 70 years really not move on and have a life?
Well, that's the thing too. Is like she's very static. Like she doesn't like what would you say you do here? That's kind of what I want to ask. Is like,
what is it you say you do here?
Like, she doesn't do anything. She doesn't do anything. She seems to be like living a small life of a museum curator of some kind, and that's it. She's not like having a small. Like, she doesn't moonlight as a crime fighter. She doesn't really seem to do anything.
I mean, does she? That would have made an interesting movie because...
would have made an interesting movie.
I mean, if you're following along...
She was picking her toes in Poughkeepsie, it would have been an interesting movie.
You know, like, I mean, I know Justice League wasn't a good movie and it wasn't the way that Zack Snyder wanted it to go. But in that movie... You know, she sort of just appears and Batman calls her out and says, where have you been the last century? You worked in World War I and that was it. And he calls her out like, you know, you lost a man that you cared about and he died and then you stopped, you gave up. Okay. And so why not show us why she does that? I mean, she skipped out on World War II, for God's sakes.
Kind of a big deal.
How do you feel about that? Is there nothing that will get you out of your slump? Why work at an unbelievably prestigious place where you will meet people all the time? Like, what is it that she's doing there? Why do that? Why not do a Goodwill Hunting thing and be a janitor at a school and solve mysteries in your spare time? Because it was obvious with that reshoot at the mall where she like lassos all the cameras so that there's no camera that can see her. Like she doesn't want to be seen, and that just felt like, how can we explain away the fact that she like never really does this? Why doesn't she really do this? She has that power. Like, why not just go back to her land of all the women? You know, I don't know.
No, I don't know. I mean,
I could make a good movie out of that.
I mean, are DC characters just stupid and thin and dumb?
Wonder Woman's probably the thinnest because her whole thing is that she's a little bit stubborn, a little bit pigheaded. She thinks she's above most people because she lives on this perfect island where they don't have any problems. So that when she goes to like the world of men, there's always a problem she has to fix. You know, which is what she sort of had in the first movie where she didn't understand why people were doing stupid things and she had to have her eyes opened, you know, because people are sort of that way.
Yeah.
Does that mean she just goes back into her hidey hole? I don't understand, you know?
Well, there's no character. There's no character for her. There's no character for Steve. There's the bad guy doesn't, you know, you don't get his sense of his really obvious motivation until the last 5 minutes because they wanted to keep that a surprise for some reason. You know, there's no... Who else is in this movie? Like this... There's motivation kind of for the klutzy lady turned into the cat.
Yeah, but, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, but like, I mean, it's just so one dimensional and so kind of one note. It's like, all right, fine. Sure. But like, yeah, this is no one does anything. Nobody changes. Things don't make any sense. It looks like shit. It's just bad. It's just a bad movie.
I noticed that there are not a lot of women coming out to defend it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, the last movie wasn't great, but they were defending it up the wazoo, you know? So it's like, what about this one?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that they could defend the other one because it was passable. It was a passable movie. And it sort of it leaned into the heavier sort of like, you know, issues of sexism or genderism or whatever you want to call it, like that, that was a part of the story. It was the introduction of the characters. It was more. This doesn't even do that. You get a couple of scenes where Kristen Wiig beats up a fat guy who, like, is wearing the same suit in the first. Like, he's just the same guy. Like, we'll put him back here again and make him be a schmuck with a little flask of gin or whatever. Like, it was just so. Like, how could you run into the same guy twice? It was just too. Yeah, but it wasn't like that. Wasn't the theme here? Like, it was a theme in the first movie that it was a woman doing something that women don't normally do, and that was fight wars in like the fighting of the war way, not just like being a nurse. But that didn't. None of that was a part of this. That, which was, I actually, that's fine with me. Like, not to make that sort of gender focus a part of the second movie, that doesn't need it per se, but that makes it harder, I think, to defend if your main interest is defending things made by and featuring women. If it's both bad and not politically aligned to you in an obvious way, then it's not important to bring it up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, oof. Good thing we didn't have to spend an extra $30 to see it.
I was delighted. That was the best part of it. I was like, I didn't know if they were going to do this like a Disney Plus thing. I'm like, yeah, you can see Mulan for an extra 30 simoleons. Fork them over.
I wonder if they'll keep doing that.
What, HBO, you mean?
No, I mean Disney.
Disney, I think they will keep charging you more money for it. HBO, you know, Warner's dumped their entire year onto HBO Max.
Right.
The whole, and like, I heard a podcast with the guy that runs the gun division for the Alamo Draft House, and he was really upset because he was like, what are we going to do? Like, we're going to, like, the movie theaters will reopen, you jackasses. Of course it's going to reopen. Like, it's like, we're getting a vaccine. It's going to be okay. People went to the films, went to the talkies after the 1918 flu pandemic, you jackasses. Like, what's the matter with you people? He was so upset.
Sure. I totally understand that.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I think Disney will still continue because they can. You know?
Yeah.
Warner Brothers probably couldn't, you know?
Well, I mean, they can, but probably it's harder and harder the more the movies stink. So
yeah, well, they can't do it now, that's for damn sure.
And now, like, you the next one, everyone's gonna be like a bit more weary, like, well, I don't know, I mean, Mulan wasn't good, and so I don't know, Wonder Woman wasn't good.
You know, here's the thing, I think people will look at Mulan and they will say that was a better movie than this movie. And that may or may not be true. However, it doesn't matter. Because people who look at Mulan and go, that was great, that was good. It's because its freshness, coupled with the fact that they were really trying to hammer home the political angle of that movie. Like, they missed it dramatically, but like it was clear they were trying to say, she's just as good as a man because she can lift this heavy bucket of water. That's the reason, and also the magic chicken thing. And there's a magic chicken somewhere. And there's magic, and she has a chi.
I think that's, and like, what, I think that's what happened.
Right, something about a chicken. There was a chicken in there somewhere. But like, it was very clear they were trying to make a movie about that. They were not trying to do that with this movie. So, I don't know. I'm not sure they can get away with it with this. Like, you know, people who for whom that is important will gravitate to Mulan and the first Wonder Woman movie, but not this one, because they kind of push that aside for, I don't know, I mean, somewhere in there is a story you could tell. It's just not you know, one that includes that particular sensibility. I think you're right. I think the most important thing is, what the heck was she doing for, you know, 70 years? Where have you been? You know, she's the only one that entire time that's been on the planet. So, yeah, I don't know. But, like, that's the story you want to tell. That's the angle. They chose not to do that. So
it was bad.
Oh, God, it was...
What did you think of the mid-credits scene? The last scene, did you see it?
I can't wait for you to tell me about it.
That's
no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Some woman's walking in a street market and a telephone pole is about to fall, and like a woman catches it, like Wonder Woman, and like pushes it away before it lands on a baby or whatever. And the woman's like, "You saved my baby. Oh my God, how did you do that?" And she turns around and it's Linda Carter. And she goes, "Oh, you know, it's strength and you just, you know, the weight of it, like whatever Diana said about kicking around people and stuff, you know, acting like it was no big deal." And she was saying her name was the name of the Amazon woman who first earned the golden armor.
She just kind of
looks at the camera and gives a wink, like it was like a gag kind of thing. Like, well, remember I used to be Wonder Woman in the 70s? Like, I do remember that. You were on lunchboxes and everything.
Wow. I wonder why that preposterous thing was. They're going to have a spinoff, you know, like.
No, like I think it was just a one-off gag.
No, I disagree. I think that the fact that they had one scene in the movie where, you know, here, hold on to the lasso. It does a thing I haven't mentioned before. Watch. And then you get a flashback sequence out of that. And, you know, I talk about how, you know, she's going to repel all the whatever of men because she's got the fancy, you know, chandelier armor. And the fact that she puts on the same armor later on and has the whole fight sequence with the cat lady. And then the third, so like when there's three things, that's when you go, oh, well, she'll be in the next movie. Like, not a spinoff, but like she'll be the mentor in the next movie.
I guess.
Why not?
Because, I mean, like, it's just another excuse to sell Barbie dolls, too.
Sure.
This is the one with the golden armor.
Oh, yeah, no, that's part of it, but, you know. Why not both? two birds. So, yeah.
I mean, not to mention, I mean, doesn't Kristen Wiig, like, trash the armor really easily?
Oh.
I was like, I thought this was supposed to be good.
They brought a guy back from the dead that can reforge that shit somehow. It's not a big deal.
Yes.
Ep, 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 ep. Doesn't have to make any sense.
Oh, and it doesn't. So, well, don't see this. It was terrible.
No, don't. Do something else. God, anything else with this 2 hours, 32 minutes. My wife comes in the room at some point. She's her concert's over, and she's like, "How much longer do you have to go?" And I'm like, "Jeez, I don't know." I was like, "Oh my God, it's an hour and a half!" Like,
I
was so surprised.
Forever.
It was astonishing. I was like, an hour and a half. Oh my God. But don't go see this. This is bad. But if you want to tell us that you think it's bad, you could do so on Twitter or Instagram. We are at @3drinksinpod. You can like us on Facebook. You could email us if you want to. You can find us on all streaming services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Make sure that you subscribe. Make sure that you tell your friends, and make sure that you leave a review. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. As always, please drink responsibly, though I'll give you a pass if you're watching this movie. And we'll talk to you all next time.
Take care.
Bye.